Welcome to episode 18 of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name's Lee Finch, and as ever, I am going to be joined by Danny Baker. Danny, very exciting news. Mrs. Baker and you have had a baby girl, is that correct?
We have, mate. Yes. Unbelievable scenes. It was a massive, massive shock because we were not due till early January. But I guess, you know, baby wanted to come in, you know, wanted to warm up, you know, wanted to try and earn that contract. Obviously, transfer windows open in January. So if she doesn't behave, we'll just swap her for something else, really. But no, absolutely buzzing. Little Dorothy, little Dolly. Really, really exciting. She's gonna be in for a while. She's really, really premature. So yeah, I don't know how people have coped with having bubbies before, but I'm absolutely buzzing. And yeah, can't wait to get back to hospital tomorrow and see her.
Congratulations, mate. Yeah, massive congratulations from us. We got loads of messages through from the listeners and everyone who are big fans of Danny Baker. So everyone's chuffed to bits for you, mate.
Well,
chuffed to bits.
I'm just a bit frustrated because obviously Mrs. Baker just didn't like fair weather. She just didn't like Carlton, Betsy. None of the big ones came up.
No Wimbledon names.
No. I mean, the only one that could have come up was Kerry Hughes. We could have gone for Kerry.
Yeah.
A good shot.
I don't blame you.
Call her Big Fat John, Big Fat Johnny Hartson, but that didn't come off.
So we're stuck
with Dolly for now. But like I said, January's just around the corner. And we'll just, you know, I'll get the scouts out and we'll just see if she's worth keeping or not, I suppose.
Dolly's a cricket name as well, isn't it?
Dolly's a cricket name. Yeah, if you drop an easy catch, you drop a Dolly. I haven't dropped Dolly. I haven't dropped a Dolly with Dolly yet. But she has been prolific at pooing her pants. So
it gets worse, mate.
Oh, no, mate. The other day, literally the first time they're like, right, go and change her. The first time. And all I got was this, like, massive, horrendous poo. It's
like charcoal at first, isn't it?
Just madness. The whole thing's been, and we had all these NCT classes and stuff, and they're like, yeah. And I used to leave like 20 minutes from the end to get to Wimbledon games, because on Saturdays, and it just so happens all the stuff that I should have actually been staying to watch would have done me good, but I was too busy, you know.
Nah. Learn on the job, mate.
So over the moon. Delighted, mate. Thanks for bringing it up. That was amazing.
Learn on the job. I'm free in now, and I don't know how many other little Finches are running around this world, but
did you get everyone in the street to like sign a ball, like for a hat trick? Just like, you know, sign like a bib.
That's it. I'm done now.
You're done, are you? You're retiring. You're hanging up the boots.
There's probably a little Finch running around in Magaluf at the moment, trying to find. Lucky Jeremy Kyle's still not on here. Otherwise, I'd have been getting pulled in every week.
Finch's pie mash in Magaluf, is it?
Oh, I love a bit of pie mash. Love a bit of pie mash. That was my big news this weekend. I went for pie mash again.
Oh, fantastic scenes.
Got a new one, just opened literally down the road, literally about 5 minute walk from me.
So, really? Oh, I can't get that pie mash. Literally, me and Dad now have got Harrington's in suiting, walk down or get a cheeky little bus, go to the game, bosh, wallop.
The problem is I might have to get rid of my missus because she had it with gravy.
Oh, what? Is that even a thing?
Pie mash and gravy. Yeah, she don't like. She ain't having the liquor. Which
she doesn't have pancakes with gravy, does she?
No way. That's only Henry. But yeah, it actually upset me that she was having a pie mash and with gravy on it. And I had liquor, loads of vinegar, double pie, double mash,
gosh,
double liquor,
100%.
Load of vinegar, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper.
Ooh,
jobs are good.
Salt pepper. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got it on the mash. Needs a little bit of salt and pepper. But anyway. Tonight, so I ain't even said what we're going to be discussing. So we're going to be discussing the draw against Wickham. We're going to be discussing COVID and how that might affect us. We'll then give a little review on Robbo. He's now coming up to a year in charge. I think you said, Danny, it's 48 games that he's now managed.
48 games he's done, yeah.
He's done pretty much a full season. So we're going to be discussing what we think Robbo's been good at, what he... has done well, but also what we think he needs improving and what we think of Robbo's tenure in charge at the moment. Give him a little score out of 10. And then we're going to do a little Christmas preview of the games coming up as we're going to have a little 2 week break over Christmas so Danny can bond with his new baby and I can eat more pie and mash. So, yeah, let's crack on.
One of them's more important than the other.
Yeah, let's crack on, Dan Wickham. You're not really going to be able to say much, are you? Because you didn't watch it?
Not really, no. But what I would say is what was interesting is a lot of the points that we spoke about, Jack Rodoni had a massive game. We spoke about it last week, didn't we? We said if Rodoni is going to be serious about playing in the Championship, he's got to have a good game. And my mate Bully, he sent me a stat. Quick question for anyone out there and you. Rodoni's on 7 goals. Can you name the last midfielder for AFC Wimbledon who scored 10?
10 goals?
In a season.
10 goals. Midfielder, central midfielder.
Well, just a midfielder.
I think it can't. Jack Reeves is. He didn't get near 10.
No.
Gregory didn't get near 10.
No. Think of midfield as a whole.
What? As in the hole? Like he sits
again,
in the
midfielders,
hole.
Plus you've got your wide men. They're all kind of midfielders as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. What you didn't. Because Rodoni's not a midfielder, he's a wide man.
Well.
Is it Wayne Gray? Not, is it Gray?
No. The last one, Christian Jolly.
Christian Jolly.
Yeah. Fair but fight. I think one of the first things in. So, Rodoni had a massive game, decent, and again, should have been a winner. What? Where are you at? You annoyed that we conceded and gave away two, or do you know what? Delighted in the end of it with one.
It's a weird one because we both predicted 2-2, so we got that right, which we won't gloat about that we get predictions right now. We both said Desmond. I was annoyed after the game. Because I didn't watch the first half. I was at a Christmas festival thing with the kids. I made sure I was back for the second half, though, to cut that early. Second half, yeah, when you go 2-1 up with, what, last 2-3 minutes of the game, you need to see that out. And we should have beat Wickham, I think. I don't know what Paul Osu's doing for the penalty. He totally rugby tackles the guy. And how we can't control Akinfenwa when he's like 40 years old. I know he's got strength, but you know that his game. And the goal he scored, I think Nick Zanev should maybe do better, but then you can't ever get Nick Zanev at the moment because he makes 3 or 4 saves a game.
I mean, I thought it was a good goal. But the thing that's disappointing is that if you get tight to Bayo, he's going to mull you. And you can't get that tight to him. Good finish from him, bless him. Still doing the goods, isn't it, at 40-odd. I didn't see, again, like I said, I didn't see any of the game, only saw the goals. What is going on with Darius, though? Like, seriously, you've got, like, Guinness Walker now. We've got a left-back, apparently our best left-backs, playing centre-back because Darius is not even on the bench. I mean, is there a point, Finchie, that we go, OK, Darius, you're not a player. Just come on. Do you think that he's in the team, i.e. the club, as a player because of the budget? And that he's got to be as a playing budget, or what? I mean, he's not going to play again, is he? Surely, if he doesn't play, then he's never going to play.
He's not here to play. He was never here to play. I knew that at the start of the season. He was never here to play a game of football. Well, no, I didn't know at the start of the season. I thought he might come in and play a few games, and we might get 15 to 20 games out of him in a season. Might get half, but you soon realise that he's here to be a mentor, and that is it. He's not here to. He's here to do his coaching badges. Probably work underneath Robbo. He's that guy in the change room that you need sometimes when we are getting beaten up a little bit and he turns around to Rodoni and says, look, you have got the skill to go and do it. Do you know what I mean? He's been there and done it before. So he's that kind of voice. He should have maybe been brought in as a coach, but then you probably have to pay him less and he probably didn't want to come in on less money. He's come in as a player, but I can't see him playing again for us, to be fair. If he ain't playing, as you said, we've got no centre-backs. We're playing a left back at centre back who I thought had a good game, Nesta, but he ain't a centre back in a million years. Yeah, I think Darius is done, unfortunately, as a player. I think he'll retire at the end of the season. And
is that the best use of the money that we got? I mean, and again, let's be blunt, we have no idea what goes on. And I met Darius at the sponsor did at the beginning of the year. Lovely guy. I'm certain that he's a good mentor, but if he's there to play, if he's down as a player, for me, us fans are expecting him to go out and play a game of football like we'd like yesterday on Saturday, and he's not going to. So for me, he needs to say, I'm gonna retire, thanks a lot, free up a space, and we get either. Well, I see what could be interesting, Finchie, because obviously, I know we'll come to a bit later with Robbo, but I don't know whether or not the guy from Chelsea is going to be around. I think he was till January. Maybe Darius goes and does his job as a backup, as assistant manager, and then that frees. I don't know whether Simmons is getting paid or whether it's a freebie. I don't know. Maybe that's something that they might be considering.
Thing is, we never know because we never get told this stuff by the club, which they're in their right to not tell us what people are earning and stuff like that. I can't see Darius being on loads of money unless he's coming in and we said, look, we'll pay for your badges because coaching badges in the country are not cheap. So we'll help you get your badges and stuff like that. Simmons, I'm guessing, if we're paying him anything, I'd be quite surprised. I think he's coming for, what's the word they use?
Secondment,
yeah. So he's coming to get first team experience of coaching with first team players, which is totally different to coaching youth. Run the 23 players, you're coaching men, you're coaching characters. Do you know what I mean? Ollie Palmer is going to be totally different to a 23-year-old at Chelsea who's skillful. Like, not saying Ollie Palmer's not skillful and stuff, but these kids are like the next Ronaldos. Ollie Palmer's a guy who's gone through non-league. He's worked his ass off to get to where he's at. And he's a totally different character to a 20-year-old Slovenian from, like, who's going to be a world beater. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Slovenian, yeah.
23-year-old Slovenian from
Slovenia. I nearly said Slovakia for some reason. I don't know why.
He was. But, yeah. I mean, so do you think that we as a club, we should just go, right, you know, Darius, just join the coaching team, don't be playing, or do we just go, do you know what, he is what he is, let's not worry about it and move on?
I think we're not going to worry about it. I think we're just going to move on with how it is at the moment. If Will comes back fit, Dan Shocker's not going to be out for ages. Who's the other centre-backs that we have? I'm trying to think the centre-backs.
Callum Baye,
once he comes back, but I don't think we'll see Callum Baye again this season. I don't think we'll see him this season. And also there's rumours that we could be getting a lone centre-back in January, but there's loads of rumours flying around about strikers that we could be signing.
Really?
Yes.
Go on. Come on.
A couple of rumours that we could be signing the striker who's currently at Sutton.
Oh, Alou, whatever his name is.
On loan from Millwall at the moment. Yeah, we're going to recall him and they want him to go up a league now because he's going to go there. And I also heard we're after a striker that was at Gillingham. He's gone back. Let me just get...
QPR?
Yes.
Vernon. Charlie Kelman, that's his name.
Charlie Kelman.
We were linked with him in the summer.
It hasn't worked out for him at Gillingham. He doesn't like Steve Evans. Steve Evans don't like him. He's gone back and we could be in for him because I think Mabudi's time is definitely up.
Yeah, unfortunately.
To not come off the bench against Wickham. Kaja is coming on now, which I kind of get. He's our player. He's under our contract. He ain't on loan or anything. So you want our players to play and develop. Kaja was, I thought, done really well when he came on. He set up the Radoni goal and it was because of him and his effort that we scored. Do you know what I mean? I was surprised by the signing of Kaja, but then what I've heard that he's literally on peanuts.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And then send Mabudi back and get a decent striker in. We've now got a winger that's come in. We need an actual striker to back up Ollie Palmer. And if Presley stays, which I think probably Presley will stay.
I think he will. I mean, what was good, and again, like I said, I wasn't there, and I really do apologise, guys, but I was just busy doing other stuff, really, as you know. 14 shots on goal is a pretty impressive effort.
Yes.
Considering we're playing Wickham, who, you know, let's face it, they'll be up there. They're fourth now. They were probably second of the day. They'll be really, really competitive. I'm over the moon with the point, to be honest with you.
Well, I think me and my mate said is... What's this snobbery that Wimbledon fans have against Gareth Ainsworth from Wickham and the way they play football? Some of our fans really don't like the way that Wickham play, which I don't get. You play to the strengths of your team and what you've got.
Yeah.
So when did we become football snobs as Wimbledon fans? When I've seen us play some... We used to have like so much stick against us for the ball going up in the air all the time when actually we played decent football. If you look now... A lot of teams play very direct like we used to. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think the thing with Wickham, though, Matt, I don't think it's about the style of play in terms of how they go about the actual game.
Well, they dive and
they're diving all over the shot.
They cheat.
I've seen that loads, yeah.
So what?
But they'll be there, won't they? That's the thing. And this is, again, one of those Badminton acts. If you want to be successful, you need to have those games. Like on Saturday, you know, I know Osu was daft, but if it was at the other end, we'd want a penalty, but would we be cute enough to get ourselves in that position to be pulled over? It's that's the balance, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, like, we kept Sam Vokes very, very quiet.
Yeah.
And Sam Vokes at this level is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really good signing for Wickham at League One. But we kept him very quiet. They then bring on Akinfenwo, who's a 40-year-old, slow as anything now. He's slower than he used to be. You know what I mean? I know he's all muscle, but he is a big lad now, very slow. But he goes and scores a goal, and he literally changed the game for Wickham when he came on. So I get it. I know the diving and all that and the cheating and stuff, but it's all about winning 3 points, isn't it? And I know we're changing, Robbo's changing the way football is. Do you know what I mean? He's the Pep Guardiola of League One. But you also have to have your Gareth Ainsworth. And I think Robbo has, him and Robbo have mutual respect for each other, because I think he gets a, Gareth Ainsworth has to play the way he does with a team like Wickham. So,
and it's our model, they have got a point because of experience. They've gained a point on us on experience, and I'd be very interested to know how many points experience is worth at the end of the year. Like someone like an Akinfenwa, he has come on experience, he knows how to rattle a few cages and get around. I wonder over the whole course of the year, I'm not just attributing it to Akinfenwa, just guys who know in certain situations, I need to do this, how many points is experience worth over energy, life, you know, high volume stuff. I'd be interested to know. It's incalculable, but I'd be interested.
We don't like experience. If you read or listen to the Will Daniels, Joe Palmer, Robbo thing, they said they hate experience. They don't want it anymore. So we're just young and hungry.
It has to be balanced. But
that really annoyed me about the experience when they said that. Like, do you know what I mean? We're throwing away the Barry Fullers and the players like that, even Lyle Taylor's now, you know what I mean? Lyle Taylor was an experienced. Lyle Taylor's one of them players that you could do, you know what I mean? He'd go nick a goal, he'd get involved and stuff like that.
The whole thing's a nonsense because we signed Darius Charles. So the whole thing's a nonsense. You can't say it's not important experience. By the way, we'll get this 34-year-old guy who can barely walk, let alone play. We'll
he's good in the dressing room. Number,
but it's all about picking players who are 25. But why did you get Darius Charles for?
Very true.
What are you talking about?
Well,
absolute nonsense.
Well, we'll end that bit on that bombshell, Danny. And when we come back, we'll discuss the dreaded COVID.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Right, we're back and we're going to be discussing COVID and how it's going to affect us and how it's affecting football. So, Dan, I'm not sure you're aware. Obviously, you've been pretty busy the weekend and stuff. There's games being postponed left, right and centre now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Tottenham was postponed in the conference and then they had their game on Sunday postponed against Brighton.
Okay.
Due to COVID cases, their change rooms, their training ground was closed due to a number of cases. Man U versus, I think they're playing Brentford, or they were playing Brentford during the week. When this comes out, they would have played Brentford, or they might not have played Brentford because that's been postponed. Villa are being hit with COVID, and there's a lot of talk of games being postponed. Do you think it will affect? I can't see how it's not going to affect us. If it's affecting these massive Premier League clubs who have got tight bubbles, how is it not going to affect the League One club when most of our players go out? Do you know what I mean? Good luck to them. This ain't having to go any players going out and having meals with other players from other teams or going out and seeing friends and family. I just can't see how, it's literally us. Like, we go out, you're going up the hospital. There's a risk everywhere now of COVID, especially with this new variant.
But also, the big players at big clubs are worth lots of money. I'm sure they'll get people who can do things. You know, our players are going to have to go down to Asda. They're going to have to go and do the shopping. Wasn't it Ram? Was it Ramsdale? Who got? Didn't he get COVID in a supermarket or something ridiculous? He went, the only place that he traced it back when he got it before, I'm pretty sure it's Ramsdale. It was Ramsdale because he basically said, I only been to, ages ago when he got it before, was I only went to the supermarket and came back and then he got pinged for it. So the challenge as well with Lee, with us, like with Tottenham, you can lock down. You can see different things. I don't know if you've seen any of the Tottenham documentary, The All or Nothing and stuff. He talks a lot about going to the change room. And you can actually, if you're needing a physio, you can actually stay at the ground and be treated by people if you're sort of if you've got those tests, lower down, you're gonna be affected. And like I said, whether or not there's going to be this big circuit breaker, I don't know. But the problem is if you start going down that road, how long is that going to be? Like, how long do your circuit break for?
Well, this is mad, because literally we had this conversation pretty much a year ago regarding a circuit breaker, because it was rife then. This is before, obviously, the vaccination program and stuff like that. I just don't know how, if it's affecting these massive big clubs, how there's not been small clubs now affected either. You're not really seeing the League One, League Two clubs having COVID cases. Are they testing? Are they not testing?
Well, I don't know if you saw this, and I might have been a while back. There's a non-league team who went over to the Isle of Man, and the game got, they couldn't do it because the Isle of Man's COVID regulations were different to the mainland. So they couldn't go over, and they lost the game. They were told, look, unfortunately, you've got to go 3 points. You just said Tottenham and, is it Wren? They can't play.
It was against Wrens, yeah. They can't play,
so that goes. The other thing as well, though, Lee, if you do the circuit breaker, it ain't going to be a one-weeker, because the players still got to train. They still got to do the tactics and everything else. If you're doing it, you're doing a block. You're doing an African Nations thing. And with the World Cup in Qatar, and they're having already to start the season earlier, I'm not sure they're going to have the time to do it.
See, the cynic in me, right, thinks that it's happening at all these big clubs is because a lot of these big clubs have been crying out for winter breaks for ages.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying they're using COVID, because COVID's obviously a very bad disease. It's killed people, unfortunately, and it's made people very unwell. And everyone will have their opinions on COVID, on vaccinations and stuff. Yeah. And that's not what this conversation is about. But I'm looking and thinking there's a lot of, like, as I said, I'm not hearing of the League One Championship. Well, maybe Championship, because QPR had a few cases and their game was off against Sheffield United. But League One, League Two and below, I'm not really hearing a lot of COVID cases happening. A lot of players, a lot of training grounds being shut. And then the Premier League clubs have been shouting for years, especially the Klopps and the Peps, who've come over from your Spains and Germany's, where they do have winter breaks. And now it just seems that there's an excuse to maybe then have a winter break, because they can say, look, yeah, COVID is closing us down. We're not going to be able to play. Let's just go for a break for the next 2 weeks and come back after the new year. I don't know how that works with the World. Was the World Cup this December coming?
No, sorry,
next December.
It's a year. So obviously the challenge is next year, the World Cup's in November to December. We're going all the way through. We're not having a break. The League One carries on. And I think we have like a two-weeker maybe in the winter. But again, that's, again, another example of like the, you know, the propaganda starting about winter breaks. All of a sudden now everyone's gonna have a 2 week break because of the World Cup, and it's, you start dropping that bombshell. And I don't mind having a winter break as such, but I do like the Christmas matches.
I love them.
I think they're great. And I think that if you're doing that, you either do it after all of it, middle of January, that FA Cup week, or you do it before, but you keep the FA Cup as it is. But I'm just trying to find out what the rules are with COVID, like how many players have got to be out for you to be able to have a game off? I don't know.
And also, as I said, it seems like, I think the Spurs one was 8 players and 4 staff, 5 staff. So that's 13 members of Spurs, playing staff and backroom staff, that had COVID and had to go down. But also, then you're going to have the close contacts and stuff like that who are going to be having to isolate as well. So you could have a whole, as I said, they closed the whole training ground for Tottenham's first team. But I don't know.
What's the answer? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
but they're postponing games because players are getting COVID, but they're also letting in 50,000 fans to a football stadium still. And the thing is, the right answer is. And I know we've got vaccines and stuff, and people are vaccinated, and they're talking about vaccine passports. Again, this ain't if you agree or not agree with all that stuff. But the vaccine don't stop you getting COVID. So you could still have COVID and then go into a ground for 50,000 people. And they're postponing games because players are getting COVID, but they're still going to allow 70,000 at Spurs to go in and watch the game next week when they play.
Well, not at the time of this, but a couple of days before people were listening to this, you know, Omicron was quite busy, and they're talking about it doubling a day and this sort of stuff. You give it another a week, it'll be very, very interesting to see how Christmas looks. And again, I mean, is it worth having that break for the sake of everyone having the Christmas that they might want because they're not having to go out because of all of the the congestion of it. But again, are people going to do that? I don't know. It will be interesting, but we can't be, if the data's, they're worried about it and people are starting to die in hospitals, it can't be long before people start having a right old panic about this.
Well, I think they already are, mate. And the problem is, like, when does health become the number one? And as I said, is this Omicron as bad as everyone says? I don't think there's the data on it as of yet. What I've seen and read, again, I'm not no scientist or expert or doctor or anything like that. I only read.
Well, hear.
Do you know what I mean? What cracks me, the funniest thing about all this and stuff like this, we'll go off a little bit off the football, is you'll see some Karen on Facebook who sits at home eating what's its.
And other she'll start available. Other crisps available. Not my
she'll
favorite.
Start. She'll start telling me. She'll start telling me how bad this virus is, and it's like, well, come on, I ain't taking any.
Well, all I hope is that it sorts out the Boreham Wood ballot. That's all I'm hoping.
Yeah,
that's all
I'm hoping. Haven't even mentioned it.
That's all I'm hoping. Is Omicron sorts out the Boreham Wood ballot, and the club just get themselves in a bit of Mind you, one of the midwives. How's this for a bit of randomness? One of the midwives looking after little Dozer is good friends with Joe Palmer. How about that?
Nice. Silent Joe, does he talk in real life? Or
apparently, I just said to him, well, if you do speak to him, can you just ask him to put his hand in his pocket?
Yeah.
Give us a promotion charge.
That just reminded me. I forgot we got to talk about the ballot for Boreham Wood as well today. But anyway.
The ballot of Boreham Wood.
The ballot of Boreham Wood. But yeah, I hope it doesn't affect us, COVID. I really don't think it will, but the amount of games you've got coming up and the amount of people going to games, and as you said, it's doubling. I don't know.
The amount of injury, you know, you think of the injuries we've got, we're already relatively low. You get two players injured and all of a sudden we add that with other games where you're like looking at bringing loads of kids in. We're basically there.
And this is where you've got to look at it now. Say we lost, say, touch wood they don't, and this is just hypothetical, but we lost Sanev, Hennigan, Radoni and Palmer, say,
we're
COVID.
Knackered. We're totally knackered.
We have to play games. We might have, but then this could be the outcome of how a league is decided, because we could get absolutely smashed by, say, Plymouth, because we lost loads of players. Do you know what I mean? And teams get relegated because they've lost players to COVID, or do you know what I mean? What? I don't know. I don't know. From our league point of view, I don't see much coming out with regards to plan Bs or anything.
They call the league off. We go flying up the league on points per game. We're absolutely flying, son.
To be fair, I think COVID was our man of the match last year, wasn't it?
We're relegated. Not last year, the year before, sorry. When Tranmere went down, for me, We were toast. We were absolutely in a world of trouble. And that point at home, that last game's probably saved us.
Yeah, so we've got to thank COVID for some things. But yeah, it's just mad. But yeah, any last thoughts on it, Dan?
Just if the season got called off now, we could get to the dizzy heights of 13th, 14th. I mean, do we call it off?
But let's call it off.
I hope everyone is safe. I hope that football recovers. Football is such a powerful thing. Personally, I think football carry on, fans don't. I play a back, give it a month, Christmas period, I would do that. I'd be saying, look, we're going to have no fans in for a month from, I don't know.
I don't think clubs have survived though, mate.
Yeah, but I'm not...
Christmas period, mate. You think how many home games you're going to have over a Christmas period? How much money you've got coming through the door?
We've only got one.
But it's a big one against Portsmouth, don't it? And then we've got Charlton.
So apart from Charlton, which obviously we've been busy, but if you said, look, either we carry on, but limit... I mean, you're right, it would be important, but I don't know whether or not it's...
I disagree. I think at the moment, I think we've just got to start... We've got to start living with this now and we just got to start getting on with playing football, fans in. I just as I said, I hope it doesn't affect us. Hope the data comes out that it is fine and we can get on with it again, because last thing we need is stadiums being closed again, money, do you know what I mean? Being tight, especially for us.
I hope you're right, young Finchie.
But as you said, the main thing is people staying safe. I get that.
Everyone out there, stay safe, please, guys.
Right, when we come back, we were going to discuss again, we will be discussing Robbo and his tenure in charge, but I think we do have to discuss the ballot of Bournemouth.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the ballot of Bournemouth. This has kicked off massively. I don't know if you've seen a lot of it, Danny. Again, as you say, you've been busy.
All I know is that we've obviously got Bournemouth away in the cup. I think have we got like a 1,200 allocation?
Well, we did get 1,250. For some reason, the club are only selling 1,130. Okay. 100, I think it's 130 tickets, 120 tickets are being given. I don't know where they're going. I think that's some sort of anger with fans. I get that players get tickets for their family and friends, or two tickets per player, I think it is, something like that.
Yeah.
We're not taking 100 delegates so where are these tickets going? Where are the 120, 130 tickets being given? Is there some special person getting these tickets, or do you know what I mean? Where are they? I think that was one of the first things. The second thing was that it was a ballot for debentures and season ticket holders.
Okay.
Every season ticket holder and debenture was going into the ballot, even if they were going to the game or not.
Oh, really? So you did have to say, I want to go to the game and then do it. What's the point in that then?
Right, it gets worse. So if your name was pulled out, you could buy two tickets. So in theory, say you won, you could get a ticket. You could take your friend who has never been to a Wimbledon game before. He goes watches non-league for say he don't support Wimbledon, but he's never been to Bournemouth. You could take him to the game Wimbledon versus Bournemouth. So half of our tickets for that game could have gone to, could, not saying they would have done or they will, but they could have gone to non-season ticket holders, non-Wimbledon fans. They could have gone to anyone.
Well, how does that work?
Well, they did it because they said that if children get a ticket, then obviously, or someone who needs a carer, right, that child, I put my boy in this ballot, he wins, he can't go to Bournemouth on his own, he's 12, so he'd have to take me. But if it's only one ticket per person, how does that work with children? And again, if you're disabled or you need a carer at a game, you're carer. But I think the uproar is that it breaks terms and conditions again. It says, I know where possible, it's one ticket per person, season ticket holder. But I've got to say as well, the club have come out and they did make the following statement. Following feedback, the club is currently reviewing the distribution sale process of Bournemouth tickets. We thank you for your patience and we'll provide an update as soon as we can. This is just getting ridiculous now, though, for me, Danny, is that every week we're discussing a ticket issue. If it's not getting into games, if it's not selling out the benches for the FA Cup game to just giving them to local children, which is a great idea, by the way, but the way they went around it.
Elite? How hard is it just to sort out a basic ticket? Just have it, like they did at Sutton. If you want to go, press this button here. Of all the ones that are there, we're going to do a ballot now. From everybody who wants to go, give them a cut-off and then just press a button.
But it shows how bad our admin is, because that's rude on the people that work in the admin. That's not a slight dig at them. It just shows how bad a system is, I think. How bad that we can't have a system where everyone who wants to go to that game, as you said, ticks yes. If you're a child and you tick yes, you want to go, you then get, you get a ticket, do you know what I mean? And then that comes out in the ballot. We've got 10 kids going, so that's 20 tickets that need to go to them kids. Do you know what I mean by that?
I just feel like this has become, again, what overcomplicated. Just have it, just say to everybody who wants to go to Bournemouth, you need to enter, you're going to basically put down to go to the game, pay the ticket online, everyone. And if you don't, if you get your money back, fine. If you haven't, well, congratulations, you are going to Bournemouth. Done. Are we going to get 1,250 going anyway? Let's be honest, are we actually?
We got 1,000 going to Wickham the other day, mate.
Yeah, but it's Bournemouth, mate.
Yeah, 1,250 in the FA Cup, I think we will. It's literally one train from Sutton up to Bournemouth. It doesn't take a lot to get up there. I think we will take 1,250. I think one of the things that annoyed me the most about it is the fact that we're giving 120 tickets have gone to the side to go to our... To, no one knows. Again, how many players have we got in a matchday squad? 15, yeah?
Well, 17, normally with six subs.
Yeah. So that's 34 tickets, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, out of, say, 120, that's 86 tickets left over, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, how many directors have we got? 10?
Yeah, probably. You got, I mean, right. You've got
so where are the where are these other 76 tickets? Where are they going to? Who's getting them? Is it a boy, like this boys' club? Is it
whatever?
Is it the clique? Is it? Do you know what I mean? Who gets these tickets? That's what I really annoy me. I'm thinking, where are these? Where are 70 odd tickets going? And also,
I just think there's such a hoo ha, Lee, when you're gonna have the, again, you want to maximise the amount of people that go to the game, right? So why are you giving loads of tickets to people and saying, right, you got tickets, and if you don't pay from it, so I just, it's over the top. Just have it. Do you want to go? Yes. Click a button. You have now been entered into, well done, you've got the ticket. If we've got too many, we'll then have to do a ballot or we'll do it in other, I don't know how to do it.
But. Do you know the Don's Trust signed this off as well? And we were talking the other day about why should people join the Don's Trust? We're a fans club, but we're not seen to be very well fan run at the moment because, as I said, you could have out of that 1,150 tickets, half of them could be going to non-Wimbledon fans. I'm not saying they will, and I doubt that would happen, but there's a possibility that half of the fans going to Bournemouth might not even be Wimbledon fans, might have only gone to one game in their whole life and gone,
yeah,
actually, I fancy Bournemouth. I live near Watford. I fancy Bournemouth. John's got a season ticket. He's got a ticket. Oh, I'll go with him. Do you know what I mean?
Even talk about that, sorry. I joined the Don's Trust again the 20th of November. I haven't heard anything. Like, nothing's been sent out. Nothing. Nada. See?
And this is what I mean. They want people to join the Don's Trust to have a vote, to have your say. But you're not even getting anything back from them. And as I said, there's people now who are so annoyed with the ticketing fiasco over Bournemouth and previous stuff that they have now cancelled their Don's Trust membership. Because they don't see the point of it anymore. And we talked about the elections previously, 36% people vote. It just, is the Don's Trust coming to an end? Is it coming to an end with what? Do you know what I mean? They're signing this off. I heard a rumour that someone didn't even have a clue what they were, and they just signed it off. They didn't have a clue what was going on. Didn't really pay much attention and signed it off and said, yeah, that's fine. I don't know how true that is. Again, it is just a...
It just needs to be like... It's a really weird one. Like we're owned by the fans, and we've never been more disconnected from the fans in terms of we've got a load of fans who are running the club who don't understand what fans need or want. It's like, what? How's that work? We're like a fan-owned club run by fans, but not necessarily supporting fans. It seems a bit weird.
Yeah, but it seems to me that we're run by the fans that want what they want, and that's it. So the fans in the Don's Trust and the fans on the board want it their way, and if you don't like it, you can't do anything about it anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, as one of my mates said, he goes, I guarantee I know who are going to be the ones who get the tickets in the ballot. I think he obviously don't know that, obviously. Do you know what I mean? I think he's been a bit facetious with that comment, and because, yeah, but we could all hazard a guess what he's kind of alluding to regarding he reckons he knows it's going to be the boys club that we keep hearing about. I don't agree with that. I really don't agree there is a boys club running Wimbledon. I don't know how the Don's Trust can keep signing things off. Like they signed that off. They signed the Guiseley tickets off. Do you know what I mean? Without thinking about your fans who pay. I bought a season ticket during the pandemic. Right? Knowing that I wouldn't go to a game. And I've got nothing out of it. I don't even get a vote.
A little certificate.
Oh yeah, I got a certificate signed by Jane Lansdale. As good a job she does, or as lovely as she is, I don't care that she signed a piece of paper.
They missed a trick, mate, as per usual. But like as we've said every single year or every single podcast, we talk about it. The only way to make a change is to do something about it, is to get yourself involved, start the conversation. But if you're not part of it, you can't do anything about it. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like now with the Bournemouth tickets, people are so angry about it that they've told the Don's Trust they've unsubscribed, they don't want to be a member anymore. There could be just two people I've seen on Facebook. It might not be hundreds of people. It could just be Gary Milson.
How many people do you know on Facebook?
I've got thousands of friends. I only know about 10 of them.
I've got 1,004 friends.
Yeah. But now it could just be Gary Milson having a moan off again, but which is unlike Gary. But I don't know where we go. It's just ridiculous that.
Well, we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, whether we'll even get to the point where we need a ballot, I don't know. But I didn't even know this was a thing until today, so I'll have to go on my account and try and buy some tickets.
Before we move, another fan said, "Is it time that we had an away season ticket, or do we have like the England fans?"
That's
a point system, so you get 1 point for a home game that you go to, and 2 points for the away game.
The problem is though, is that we very rarely are in a position where we need to have this system in place, isn't it? I mean, how many since we've been watching Wimbledon? There's been what? I remember the Sutton game, and I remember this. I don't remember another ballot. No, oh, there might be Haringey. No, Haringey. Barrett. I don't think Haringey was.
No, Haringey was.
So,
that's two times, but I don't know, because like obviously we know people that went up to Accrington, and there was 189 fans that went up to Accrington on a Tuesday night. None of them might get a ticket for the.
See, that's where it's poor. You've got some people who've been to consecutive games for 8, 9, 10, 12 years. People have gone up to Haringey or gone up to Haringey. What? Get rid of Haringey. Going up to Accrington. And then, like you said, they've taken all that effort. And then it's like, yeah, no, you're not actually going to go. I do feel like there should be like a membership plus, if you like, where, you know what, if you're a season ticket holder and you're going to away, like maybe a points thing's good, actually.
No,
maybe that's something fun, where if you go to a game, home game, you get a point. You go to an away game, you get two. And
then if it does happen, you've got 1,500 fans. And then that's why they go into a ballot first kind of thing. And then if they don't want to go, you've got 500 people. Like, it's the same as England fans. As I said, our mate Nick, he literally has got nothing else going on in his life other than Wimbledon. So he goes literally home and away. He might now not get a Bournemouth Wood ticket. But he needs
to do something else with his life, mate.
He ain't got much else going on. He's not the best looking lad here. Do you know what I mean? Nick Palmer.
If anyone's out there, Nick Palmer, he's a top boy. Ladies, gents.
All of them.
Let's set up a date. Let's do like a single ladies, reveal yourself.
Get Nick to come down the lift. But yeah, fair to him, he literally goes every game. He loves it. He went up to Lincoln on a Tuesday. He goes up to Accrington on a Tuesday. He goes to most games. Do you know what I mean? He misses the odd one here and there, but he might not be able to go Bournemouth.
He needs to correct that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's missing a game.
He's not going anywhere if he's not going to correct that.
No, but I do like that. I don't know how we get out around it though, but.
We get around it by enough people going onto the Dons Trust and doing something about it. That is the only way.
Not having that.
Unless you're going to go rogue, Finchy.
Not having that. It's time to, what's it called? Defund the Dons Trust. When we come back.
Starting a world of trouble there.
When we come back, we'll be discussing Robinson and his tenure in charge.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Welcome back. And as I said, we're going to be discussing Robbo and his year in charge, 48 games. Danny, how do you think it's gone for Robbo so far?
I'm just obstructed by the cat in a minute. Just get out, Flossie, get out of the way. Flossie the cat, look, as she comes, look, loves it, likes Jack Redoni. I think Robinson has done a marvellous job. Stop laughing. People don't know, I'm trying to get out of the way and I've got this cat's tail in the middle of the screen.
I can't take you seriously with a pussy in front of your face, mate.
That's crass. That's far too right. Get out of the way. Robinson, I think, has done a great job. I think what's been good is he's tried to implement a long-term strategy, and it is important that we as fans back him, and we have backed him. I'm not saying it's impeccable. I'm not saying that he's not infallible or he's not made mistakes, but I looked at his record and we would have had about 60 odd points if every single game that we had was a league game, which would put us in and around sort of 15th last year, which is probably where we're at. So when you look at it that way, it's not over like wow, but I guess the question is whether you think we've got a squad next year that if they stay together, they can kick on. I suppose that's the golden question to begin with, Lee, I think.
Yeah, I think Robbo's done a great job. I like Robbo. He does talk a good game. I love some of the stuff he says. As I said, he reminds me a little bit of David Brent with some of the most motivational speeches and stuff, and when he wants the fans to get behind us. But I do love him for it. And as I said, we spoke to him before. We spoke to him all the time. If you see him out, if you see him at the ground and you say hello to him, he'll speak to you and stuff. I love all that. I love the way he sticks to his process. Like a lot of managers could have changed what he was going to do, but he hasn't been one of them. He's like, nope, I'm doing it this way. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Don't put me in charge if you ain't going to go down that road. And I think we're seeing players like Radoni come to the fore now where they're playing regularly, like consistently well. McCormack is now looking like he's kicking on. And Robbo said a couple of weeks ago, it does take some players a little time to adjust. Going from Chelsea to Wimbledon is going to be a big adjustment for some. I think Robbo's brilliant. I love his backroom team. One thing I don't like is the way he's trying to change the whole football philosophy. I'm an old school football fan. Okay. So substitutes are substitutes. Yeah. They're not finished. They're substitutes to me and stuff like that. But
I was going to ask, actually, of all of the things that we obviously spoke quite eloquently about what we like about Robbo, and like I said, I like the way that he's not just talking, he looks at the whole person, he's looking at making people good people, and I actually quite like some of the stuff that he's done. But I guess for me, the one thing that he'll improve on is that he's incredibly inexperienced. Like this is like the first year that he's been in football management, and it is very different. And I guess for me, it's whether or not his recruitment has been as strong as it could be. I guess that would be one of the big ones. I know he's had one window, and he obviously brought in a number of half decent players. Obviously brought in Marsh. Brought in McCormack. Palmer's not his. Was Palmer his? No, Palmer was someone else's. But I just, just be interested to see what, whether with this window coming up, whether he's got enough now to work out who he needs to get rid of and recruit those better players, or whether the club, maybe that's not his fault then. Maybe that's the club's fault. I don't know, but be interested to see what he's got.
I agree. I think the one improvement he has to really make is in the transfer window.
Yeah,
I think he has been saved this season by himself, to be fair. He'll turn around and say that the players that have come in and done really well, Asau, he brought in. Radoni, I know Radoni was already in amongst the first team, but he was someone that played in the youth team under Robbo, and it was Robbo that got him into the first team, to be fair. Players like that, McCormack that he brought in, Shay's giving chances to who else? Dan Soccer looks a different player to what he did at the start of the season or even last season.
Now Robbo's got him. There's no doubt that Robbo can coach, but
yes,
you think of all of the guys that he brought in the summer, which is the free loans, Marsh and McCormack. When you look at the actual players, and he's obviously brought in Zaki Uwula and he's brought in Charles, there isn't a lot of wow football. I mean, McCormack's been very good of late. Marsh is solid, and Lawrence, when he plays well, he's good. But it's been an okay recruitment, I reckon, in the summer.
I'd say below okay, to be fair. If you look at what the players that you've just said, Zaki, as much as he's a nice guy and he's probably brilliant around the change room, he's been here for 9 years and does really well on the coaching side, he's not a League One goalkeeper. I know people wrote off Zanev previously for his loans, but unfortunately, Zaki's not League One quality goalkeeper.
He's nowhere near it.
He's a good backup. Marsh, he ain't playing, so he's not exactly like setting the world on fire. He can't get in past Aitken or Woodyard, so can't really comment on him. We can't really say, yeah, he's done really well.
I agree.
The free loans, I think, they've all, as much as I love Henry Lawrence, he's not playing as many minutes. And I can see him going back in January because I can see Chelsea not being overly happy with the amount of minutes he's playing. So then that then goes against the stuff that Robbo said, that with his presentations and stuff and the reason why these players are going to come and develop here. They're not developing here, the three of them. I don't think Mabudi, as much as he might have stuff personally going on and stuff, he's not playing games again.
Yeah.
Presley, I just don't rate. I just don't think he'll be a Championship League One footballer. The only one you can say, yes, you get tick marks on is McCormick.
Yeah.
But then McCormick was decent in League One at Bristol Rovers last year, so you expected the same. A relegation team, done well. He's come in and done well. So out of the signings, you give him one, I'd say.
Well, one starts, doesn't it? If you look at right now and you speak to any football fan, a Wimbledon fan, what is right next game? Everyone's fit. Who's your starting lineup? It's definitely one, maybe two. Because I would still pick Lawrence at right back personally.
Yes, agree.
Out of, you know, six or seven summer transfers, I know not everyone's going to start, but you would normally expect that your two or three loans would all start. You would think.
Yes, I agree.
So I think that would be an area of his that I'd be interested to see. And again, it'll be interesting to see the relationship, because that's the other thing. We, like I said, we've gone on about we need to get these really good players in from like Chelsea, and we want to get players from those clubs. But it doesn't mean they're better players. You can have a good player at Brighton, Longman, or you can have a bad player at Brentford, Presley. I mean, we're not. Longman is a year, and again, we've also, like we said, it's all right getting Man United players, but we're getting them 19. We're getting them like the youngest of the young. You know, a Brighton's, you know, striker who's under 21. Is going to be better than a Brentford striker under 19. That's just biology. It's just experience, better quality, and it'll be interesting to see
I agree, because if you're getting the really good player, like we did get Force, you're getting the one-off that literally is ready to go, and he did go after he played for us. He went into Brentford straight away and smashed it. If you're 19 at a Premier League club and you're that good, you're not going on loan to AFC Wimbledon.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So I get that point of view, but I think the one area that Robbo needs to improve, and it's a big January coming up for him in that respect, is the transfer window.
Yeah.
You know, we've got January coming up. Do we lose players in January? Do we decide to sell Hartigan, Nesta, Guinness, Walker? They've only got 6 months left on their contracts.
Well, they're the ones that sell them. They're the big two that have been constantly linked. Where are you sitting with it? Hartigan runs out, as does Guinness Walker in July, from the reports. Is it busy agent, which it normally is, or do you think there's an amount of money that you would take for the pair of them?
Again, this is where I think Robbo needs to earn his wedge. Does he leave them to run down where he says that he wouldn't do that? But then if they won't sign contracts, you let them go in January for money and see if you can then be allowed to reinvest that money. I think we lose Rodoni in January. Again, this is where Robbo has said, and this is probably where Robbo has done really well, is that he's got people like Asal now on contracts. We're not giving just 1 year, one options. We're giving 3 year contracts to our best young players, because we keep losing our best young players for nothing.
Yeah.
And you can't do that as a club. We can't. One, we got a huge debt. And two, we need to field a decent side at League One. Robbo's seen that, and again, this is one of Robbo's plus points, and he gets plus marks for that. You need to put players on contracts, because otherwise, come January, I think we have to sell the players that are out of contract in summer.
Is it? But okay, let's just spin it a little bit. We know that Hartigan, according to the reports, and again, it could be anything. Bolton seem to be the only team I see. Is that a good move for Anthony Hartigan right now? Bolton,
no.
I don't know, financially maybe, but I don't know how his career has moved on if he goes to Bolton.
As you said, is it an agent trying to get Wimbledon to give him a contract ASAP, because he's obviously got 6 months? Because, not being rude, he went off to Newport and had a torrid time at Newport.
Correct.
Didn't enjoy it at all. I know he's grown from it and he might have learned from it, but I think he's best staying local with his family. Maybe he wants a little bit more money, but he's got to understand that we might not be able to afford what he's after. If we can't afford it, then, and he can get better price, then off he goes, and we wish him best of luck. But remember what happened to you last season at Newport, when you couldn't even get in a League Two team, and now you're one of the best players in League One.
Yeah. I mean, the Guinness Walker one, I think, is slightly different, because personally, I would if somebody came in for him with 300 grand, he's gone for me. I like him. I think he's energetic. I think he's busy. But I personally feel that with Osu, I'd put Osu at left back, and I go, okay, well, best of luck. We'll have Alexander with Osu, and we could then have. You could then spin the wheel and go, right, who's the best player in non-league left back? We'll have you. You've got 6 months. Learn the ropes, and we'll see where you are coming up. Oh. I think for me, and you've got like Portsmouth, and you've got Huddersfield and that talking, but I wouldn't be too... I like him as a person. I like his energy, but I feel that the way that we play, he's not as suited. And I wouldn't have a problem with him going.
That's what we did with Shea, wasn't it? We looked at the right backs in non-league, and he was doing really well at Barnet. Best crossing in the league, and we signed him. And he, to be fair, I don't think he's far off a League One footballer. Nesta, I agree with you. I think he's another Toby Civic for me. That if someone offered us 300 grand, I'd be going, yeah, and he could end up being a good conference player, like a championship player, sorry.
Yeah.
But Toby Civic, I never saw Toby Civic as ever being a good championship player. Again, another plus point from Robbo that he brought him through the youth. But I can see Nesta going. But yeah, what do you think? Come back to the Robbo debate. What do you think Robbo's... Is that his only negatives, that the transfer window, that he needs to maybe improve on that? Or is there anything else you can see that you think...
Well, obviously, the substitutions was becoming a bit of an issue. And of late, what's been interesting is that he's deviated away from that. And he's decided to play Palmer a lot more. And again, you know, we score. But Palmer, for me, Palmer is the only real threat forward holding the ball up in our club, and we do need him to play. Now, I know it's a delicate balance, so I would have thought maybe for me that's been improved. I like what he's trying to do. I love the way he goes a bit with the youth. But as I said, the big thing for me is the recruitment and his experience. We are talking about a guy who has 10 years ago was coaching under 10s, and he's come all the way through and done under 18s and 19s, all with common sense and good humour and good health. And he is the perfect guy for us at the moment, due to the fact of the way that he sees the club and how we're going. But whether I still think that another club could come in for him, and I think he'd do a good job there. I think he's got at least another year. I think he's still a little bit wet behind the ears as a football manager, period. And I think this January is going to be a very interesting time for him and the club to see, you know, I think it's going to be a really good indicator as to where we're at and where he's at. In terms, like you said, there's some really key decisions. Rodoni, sell or keep. Nesta Walker, sell or keep. Hartigan, sell or keep. Mabude, Presley, Lawrence, stay or keep. Charles, is he going to not play and just get into coaching? There's loads of big decisions around our personnel, and I'll be fascinated to see how he does. But I think he's done a sterling job. What would you give him out of 10? What would you sit with him?
Well, I was just about to say it to you, but with regards to another plus, but I do like the way he thinks outside the box, especially with his backroom staff. Like, I never saw Rob Tovey ever being an assistant. I thought he'd be good as the loans manager and stuff, but I think Rob's been brilliant as assistant manager to Robbo. I do like the substitution coach and stuff, and the restarts coach and things like that. They're things that top clubs are doing now, especially with regards to throw-ins and corners. They can win you 1%.
Yeah.
What we talked about earlier is quite funny, is that we said about experience and stuff, and three of our biggest players for us, Hennigan, Woodyard and Palmer, are the three experienced ones in the team, and we rely on them. They don't play, we don't win.
Correct.
And I think that's where Robbo needs to sometimes get off his high horse regarding the youth and the players he's bringing through. And remember that we had three experienced players that were already at the club before he came in, and they've been huge for him.
Yeah.
Which I think he needs, do you know what I mean? Just look at that a little bit more. But, and that, again, that's an experience thing that you said. He might not know the experienced players out there. He knows a lot of youth team players and youth team managers. Out of 10 at the moment, I think I'm going with 7.5.
Okay.
7.5. There's a few things like letting him down still. We've got, as I said, transfer win. Nothing against him personally and stuff like that. I love the guy. I think, as you said, I think he's a perfect fit for Wimbledon at this time. I don't think he's using us as a stepping stone to move on to anything else. I think if you said to him you'd be here for the rest of your life, he'd stay. as long as it's financially viable for him and his family, obviously. But yeah, I love him and I think he's doing well, but I think 7.5 is fair. You?
I think I'd give him a 9, I think.
9?
Yeah, I can't. And the reason why I say it is, how many of the things that he controls has he not done very well? He doesn't control the amount of money we've got. He doesn't really control on his own. You know, we're talking about the football culture, the philosophy, the way that he's engaged with fans, the way that the fans, he has created this whole community feel. He puts his hand up. He's made the odd mistake because he's a manager, because every single manager does. But of the things that he controls, I don't see many mistakes. The recruitment is the one. The recruitment is the one. But I don't know what else people expect. Like, we're never going to be a playoff team. We're just never going to be it. And with the small money that we've got, I don't know how much more he could do. I mean, what could he do better? What could he do? I don't know.
I get it, but 9 is
let me break it down a bit then. He brings in youth players, right? Our youth players, and they are now playing regularly and playing well. He's got the whole fan base completely and utterly in his hands. Everyone loves him. He constantly is bigging each other up. He goes out and works hard in the community. People love him for what he's doing. He's created a brand at Plough Lane. He's brought in new initiatives at the club that make a lot of sense, will save us money, and he's engaged in it. And above all, he's working with a pathetically low amount of money. Never really, well, he does occasionally pull it up, but he's still managing to create good results. I don't know what more you can get out of him, really. But I respect the 7.5. I can't think of 2.5 points of negativity that I can take off him.
Yeah, but then I'm literally negative in every walk of life. I wake up in the morning.
Julie Grinch, we know that.
I hate Christmas.
Exactly.
Hate it. It's a pointless holiday. But anyway, we're going off subject. But yeah, I know. But I'm one of these fickle fans who 1 minute, like,
of course you are. But it'll be interesting. He's got a big January, that man.
Yes.
Very, very big January. And it'll be very, very interested to watch it in the nice warm with my little bubby.
It is a big January because it's how we deal with the loans is the one that interests me. How we deal with these loans that we've built relationships with clubs and then going, actually, your player's not good enough. Or not saying they're not good. In our eyes, as fans, they're not good enough. But he's got to be a little bit more tactful with how he goes back and says, look, Presley, Henry Lawrence is brilliant, but I've got my own Pawosu.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Lawrence is going to be a higher championship player. But Osu's ours. Osu's mine. I can develop him a little bit more and he can be where I need him to be now. Presley, again, do we need Presley? Maybe I'm being harsh, 7.5 with Robbo, but...
Well, no, you can say what you want. It's your opinion.
Another good thing is that we have got players on loan who are playing men's football and doing very well. Corey Andrews scored 2 again the other day.
Yeah.
What's his name? Cosgrove is scoring goals in a really, really poor Dover team at the arse end of conference. The winger at Merstham's doing very well.
Yeah, Jay Hersey. Alfie
Bendel, 16, doing really well at Corinthians with, Bolton, Elliot Bolton, both doing well. Bilal was doing well until he got injured. And Curry's doing well at Eastbourne. So I think that's a big thing for me. Maybe I'll put him up another 0.5 to 8. Because that's a big thing for me that Ardley really let himself down for me, is that he never trusted the youth. None of them ever went on loan. So they just sat there playing kids football, getting stale, where our players are actually going out and playing men's football and know what it's like to play. So I'll go 8, right? That's harsh, 7.5 if you listen. Fine. Robert. 8.
I'm not dropping. I'm not dropping you down. I'm not going down to 8.5. I'm not meeting you there.
We'll meet in the middle though, yeah? 8.5.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
All right. All right, then. Well, we'll come back. We'll preview the Christmas games.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Welcome back to the Wombles had a dream podcast. I'm Lee Finch. joined by Danny Baker, and we're going to be discussing the Christmas games. You like that? That intro, yeah, Dan?
I thought you were doing like some sort of like advert for like some sort of chocolate bar or something.
Getting all professional, mate.
Very dreamy.
Can't be the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast without being a bit like that.
Oi, play nicely, please.
Sorry, unofficial podcast.
Come on, then. Games. Four games you've got, haven't we? We've got Pompey, Charlton, Oxford, and then we've got Plymouth.
Yeah, don't come much tougher than that, do they,
no,
really?
That is fair, rough. And then we've got the FA Cup, then we've got MK, haven't we?
Yes.
Go on, then. Four games of Christmas. Talk to me.
I'm struggling to find out how we get points because let me tell you why. Portsmouth are absolutely flying now. They just got manager of the month, Cowleys. I think they're 13 points in 15 or something mad. Can't remember.
They lost, though. A lot of players are injured at the minute for them.
Yeah, but they still got Hartness, who's banging them in at the moment.
Yeah, he's annoying, isn't he?
He's probably one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, agree with that.
Charlton, again, they were struggling. Now they're flying. Battered Ipswich. See the Ipswich fans.
Brilliant, that.
Ipswich fans.
Right thumb.
Charlton away, yeah. They were proper. I thought I'd moan. Fucking hell.
Portsmouth have got 12 from 15. Sorry, 13 from 15.
I said that.
And away. So we've got their away record.
My stats are unreal.
Their away record. They lost the last. They've won the last three away.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Charlton and then Oxford. Oxford are flying.
Yeah, they're a good side, aren't they? Oxford.
And Plymouth are the only ones dropping. They've just lost their manager, Con Preston. Weird move for me, that. But you thought it was quite good because he probably lives up there. Well, yeah. His family are probably from there, so I get it. But yeah, I'll be happy to pick up. I'd say 6 points, but I can only see four.
I would ideally want. I've got this obviously thing with me around. We need to be 5 points above a point a game to stay up, basically. So obviously after 46 games, 51, so you want to be 5 ahead, and we're bang on that. We're 5 points ahead of a point a game, 2 in hand. I think if we can get to Christmas, if we win one game and draw one and lose the other two. And I think the Charlton game will be a big one for us. I think if we can get 4 points, fantastic. No free hits though. I think we'll have a little punt. And I think, like you said, it's another opportunity for the Radonis of the world and Guinness Walker and the Hartigans. Well, let's see how interested they are in if they are wanting these moves and they want to potentially get a gig somewhere. Well, there we go. And if you want a new contract to start Wimbledon. These are the four games that, you know, against four teams who, frankly, any of those four could well be in the championship next year. They're four big clubs, you know, let's have it. So it'll just be interesting to see how Robbo manages the squad because Palmer won't play all four. He'll have to play Presley. And it'll just be a question of, well, mind you, at the same point, we laugh, but maybe we won't get him in. We've been talking about having four games until what, New Year? There could be a whole load of backlash, but I think 4 points would be good. Anything above four would be fantastic. And two games in hand with maybe one of those being a win, puts you up into 13th or something would be wicked. But again, as I said before, we need to be middle of that bottom half, 16th, something like that, I would take now, which is small improvement, but ultimately this year was about staying up.
No, I totally agree. I said, I expect 4 points. I think we need to be aiming for 4 points. I reckon, hopefully, Robbo and the team are aiming for 12 points. But, yeah, you've got to be realistic. I'd love to start with a point against Portsmouth because that is a really tough game there.
Yeah.
But as you said, they've got a lot of injuries. So if we can get after them, we cause problems at their place. Oxford's always a tough game. But that's, again, another one I think if we can wind up that fat knobhead, we could get into them as well because he hates us. He mentioned us the other day, didn't he?
Yeah,
he hates us. We live in his head rent free, mate. Totally rent free. Love it
Charlton
as well.
Charlton have come back well, haven't they?
They got Johnny Jackson, his manager. I think he's kicking on.
He's permanent now.
I don't think he's permanent. I obviously know a Charlton fan, Cole Bratton, the most boring man on the planet, but I love him.
You sure? Aren't you one of them, aren't you?
Nah, Cole's proper boring. We went on a stag do and he once told me that the River Spree is Spree in Germany is one of the cleanest rivers in Europe. I know that's the Thames. Talking about stag do's,
we went on a stag do, and Bully, a good lad of ours, what we had, like, we were in Newquay, had a couple of drinks and that, and we got home at like 9:30 or whatever, we're going to get ready to go out, and we were like, right, Bully, what do you want to do? You can go here, you can go there, we can get drunk, we can do this, what do you want to do? And he was like, oh, just go to bed. 9:30, we're like, nah, come on, mate, we've come all the way from London to Newquay, come on, we've got to go out and have it. Yeah, bless him, Bully, that was quite good fun, actually. He was like, yeah, nah, let's go home.
No, we were in Germany and we all jumped in the River Spree. And then as we got out, Cole started telling us about how the River Thames is one of the cleanest rivers in Europe, but it looks dirty because it's a mud-based river. And that was your stag. And yeah, that, you see what I mean? Charlton good, fan for you.
Good in a pub quiz.
Also, Charlton are a nothing club. So I'd hope to get free. They're a nothing club, aren't they? I forget they're a London club sometimes. They're that nothing.
Well, exactly. I think Plymouth, in the shadow
of Millwall.
Well, I think Plymouth could be the team that who start the slide, I think, with Lowe gone. I think they could be the team. There's always a team that starts to like nosedive and drift off. Maybe Plymouth is the one where the new year will come. But it'll be 4 points, get to 16th, 17th at the start of the new year. I think that's a good idea.
You're actually convincing me now that we could win all these games. I'm going for 12 points now.
Oh, fantastic from you. We'll
beat them all.
We've been quite negative, but we've just played Wickham with one centre back,
and we should have won that.
We've been properly competitive,
and also
we're in the run of it.
We should be getting 12 points. You just gave Robbo 9 out of 10, mate, for the whole year. So
absolutely,
if he wants to keep that up, he wants to keep that for next year,
and he does. He's been listening, and he does. So, Robbo, go and get me 12 points. But I think for us, where we are. Between 4 and 6, I think it's fair. That's where we are as a club. That's where we're punching against those teams. It will be lovely not to lose those 4 and get sucked a bit lower down and seeing Morecambe have a little drift up. I think 4 points, keep us 6 points off those bottom four even. Pucker. That'd be amazing.
I like that. And then we can worry about the FA Cup. And then also, you never know who you can then sign in January, because we could say we beat Bournemouth. You get your massive Man U's and stuff like that, and you think... Players think, oh, actually, I want to sign for AFC Wimbledon so I can get my day at Old Trafford.
It's a big start. It's a big start to 2022 with the fact we've got the Bournemouth game and the MK game.
Yeah.
And then after the Bournemouth, if we could some potential round 4, I think it's a massive one. But I think those 4 games...
Scum on a Tuesday night.
Big players have got to turn up. So it'll be interesting to see which one of our big 4, the Asals, the Radonis, which of them are going to really turn it on against those big 4 teams. Radoni's done it against Wickham. Let's see if they can keep doing it.
And Asal looks like he's back in a little bit of form as well. So, yeah, you never know. Don't be scared of anyone. We're going to beat them all.
Small squad, but that's all we can do.
And we're going to beat them all. Right, that wraps up this episode, Danny. Thanks again very much for joining me. I know you're extremely busy. You haven't mentioned it, so it's quite
nice.
No,
I've mentioned it 4 times. But if I don't speak to you, you know, enjoy life. And, I'll
we're going to have a couple weeks off now, people. We are going to have 2 weeks off to enjoy Christmas with our families, and then you'd have to hear our dulcet tones over Christmas and New Year. We'd like to thank everyone who has listened this year, joined in, paid attention to what we say. I make mostly the decent points on the podcast, so I do appreciate it. And thanks,
just a quick one, we also lost a number of our community this year, and we all know who they are, and some are young, some are old, but we're not big enough, and we're not the best thing about Wimbledon is how close and tight we are. So that in particular, those guys who have lost somebody, Christmas is a really, really tricky time, particularly for people when you've lost it and it's quite raw. So I'm hoping and wishing those guys all the best of luck and as much strength as they can muster at a difficult time.
Yes, we've mentioned COVID, it is a struggling time for people. Reach out if you are struggling. Reach out. There's always someone there who will listen. We'll talk.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Lee. I'll send over some quiz questions. Maybe we'll do like some quiz, like a couple of questions here and there on Twitter. I'll send some ideas out if we can be bothered to do it.
Sounds good, maybe let me do it.
People can interact. But stay safe, everybody. Thanks, Lee, for having me. You do a great job, mate. And we'll see everybody in the new year, hopefully.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter @WomblesDream and on Facebook @The Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. by the fans, for the fans.